Welcome to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. On August 25th, 2008, California Attorney General Jerry Brown issued state medical marijuana guidelines for the possession and growing of marijuana as medical marijuana. In this edition of Radio Curious, we visit with Mendocino County Sheriff Tom Allman to discuss those guidelines and how he, as sheriff, will implement them here in Mendocino County. Tom Allman, welcome to Radio Curious.
Barry, thank you very much for having me back.
You were telling me that in February of this year, you met with Jerry Brown, who
yes.
is the state attorney general, to discuss the guidelines for the security and non-diversion of marijuana grown for medical use.
Well, I don't think that was the main purpose of meeting. The main purpose of meeting was to discuss marijuana, to discuss where the state of California is going to be going. Because if you remember, with 215 and with 420, there was a very specific request that the Attorney General's office issue guidelines for law enforcement and for the citizenry to review and to have an idea of what a standard throughout the state is. And so my purpose wasn't to go say, hey, you know, Attorney General Brown, where are the guidelines? My purpose was to go down there. I called his office in December, and his assistant made an appointment for us. I believe it was on February 8th. And I went down, and he was very cordial. He was a nice gentleman, and we sat one-on-one for just under 2 hours, and we talked about some of the problems. And now, as of yesterday, the guidelines have come out, and I've had a chance to look at them, and I'm very appreciative of the guidelines. I'm very appreciative of his staff that's put their time and effort into this, and I think this could help unmuddy the path that we're going on.
Well, let's talk about those guidelines
okay.
and how you see them being implemented here in Mendocino County. The guidelines, as we've both read them,
we have.
I think set out a couple of interesting issues, as I see it. One is that the number of plants that an individual can possess equals the state guidelines of 6 mature plants or 12 immature plants and 8 ounces of what's commonly called bud, as opposed to branches.
That's
what we understand.
The only correction I'd add to that is the guidelines formerly known as the state guidelines, because after the Kelly case.
Well, right. So we have an interesting jurisdictional issue because of the Kelly case and the subsequent one, which is going to be heard by the Supreme Court at sometime in the near future.
And another case, the Formfogde case. And that is from the Sacramento area. And it's, for the most part, it mirrors the Kelly case, but I'm hoping that the Supreme Court will accept that as well, and we can marry some of these cases together and have them marry the state law so we can get better direction. Law enforcement is just as frustrated as anybody else by saying, when other people come to me and say, come on, Sheriff, what is the law? And I say, well, that's a really good question.
So staying with the Attorney General's guidelines.
Right, okay.
If someone has more than that amount, and they're not a provider, they're a user, the guidelines seem to indicate that the entire quantity in their possession can be confiscated on a proper stop.
You're taking a very conservative view of this, because that's not what it says at all, Barry.
Well, you tell me what you think it says.
Number one, it's going to talk about what the doctor has recommended. And let's take the word prescribed out of this. Absolutely. You can't use the word prescribed, because the word prescribed isn't recognized in any of these medical recommendations. That's all it is. It's a medical recommendation by a physician that a person needs X amount.
Which is an interesting interpretation from the state trying to get around the federal law that puts marijuana as a Schedule I drug. So doctors can recommend, but they can't prescribe.
That's
because
correct.
Their DEA license is issued by the federal government.
That's correct.
Okay.
So if your doctor has recommended,
spoken or written,
verbal or written, an amount higher than the guidelines, then that amount, in my opinion, the amount in excess of that would be taken, unless it's a grotesque amount more. You know, if
how much is grotesque?
Well, I mean, grotesque could be 25 pounds. If you're supposed to have 8 ounces, half a pound, you have 25 pounds. We're not going to be on the side of the street and weigh out 8 ounces for you and take 24 and a half pounds. We're not going to do that.
But if you're going to take it all.
We're going to take it all, but if it's processed, we're not going to go destroy it. We're going to put into evidence, and we know that we'll be in court soon, and if a judge orders it returned, we'll return it.
So one of the issues is how much and where. One of the things that I've heard is that in the north end of Mendocino County and the southern end of Humboldt County, there are profiles for certain kinds of vehicles or certain kinds of occupants that are stopped more than others. Do you know anything about that?
Well, I know people have made those allegations, and I've asked the people who are going through court, I've asked their attorneys to please provide me black and white evidence of this or even what their assumption is, and well, that's where the conversation ends. I never hear back.
How about in your department? Are there any such profiles?
Absolutely not. We don't profile anything. Barry is...
So a single man with a rental car from San Jose driving south on Highway 101 from Piercy to Willits, following all of the traffic regulations, is not likely to be stopped.
I hope he enjoys our county. It sounds like a tourist.
Fair enough. And you can't speak for the Highway Patrol.
I can't speak for the Highway Patrol. And when you say that he's traveling from Piercy, you know, southbound through our county, I can't speak to knowing he doesn't violate any of the laws.
Well, in this hypothetical, assuming they would not violate any
laws. Then absolutely. And one of the things that I've been able to do since sheriff is we have put digital video dashboard-mounted cameras in our patrol cars.
And they run on every stop?
Absolutely. I don't have one in my car. I have a hybrid, and the video recorder company won't let these go into hybrids because the batteries won't maintain them. But the other vehicles, they're working. The microphones are working, and we have documentation of these traffic stops.
How can a person get a copy of what is on the video and audio for one of those stops if they are stopped and there's no action by no arrest, no citation?
Well, the Freedom of Information Act, you're an attorney, Barry. You know that people can request such data. However, if there's no action taken, the information is only kept for, I believe, 30 days, and then it's not saved on our hard drive.
So it's a hurry up and request if you want it.
Sure, yeah.
And that request is made to your office on Low Gap Road.
It is.
Okay.
But I would ask people that they contact an attorney, not for the purpose of getting attorney's business, you know, and saying go see your attorney because there is a way to take care of this without an attorney, but maybe either go and Google the request form and find out how to request public information on a public information document or talk to an attorney and find out the right way to do it.
Okay, well, let's not belabor that. Let's go back to the State Attorney General guidelines.
Okay.
And we were talking about the issue of more than the permitted amount.
Okay.
Or the recommended amount. And we have within that a couple of different situations. One is a person with a state-issued ID card, and another would be a person with a note from their doctor, and another would be a person who says, my doctor verbally recommended that I have marijuana.
Right.
How would you distinguish between those three different situations?
Well, let's start with the first. And that's a person that has a state-issued marijuana card. And if they're holding the state-issued ID card, remember these state-issued ID cards, I don't know if you've ever seen one, but it just has a photograph and it has a number. It doesn't have the person's name. It doesn't have their address. It doesn't have identifying information. It's very specific of just the California State Department of Public Health information number. And in theory, there's a person available 24/7 in Sacramento who we can call on an 800 number, we being law enforcement, call an 800 number, and we can give them this number, and they can tell us if it's a legitimate card or not. And if the person is within the guidelines or close to the guidelines, we don't ask people to, you know, have the exact, if it's 8 ounces and they have 8.5 ounces, I don't think that, I'm going to hope there's not going to be any problem with that whatsoever. But we're going to let them be on their way. It would be no different than if someone had Vicodin and it was in a prescription bottle that had their name on it and everything was on the up and up. So that's the easiest scenario to take care of.
Okay, so the next scenario is someone who has a copy of the doctor's recommendation.
Right. Now, and you said a copy. And that, I am so happy you said that, Barry, because that's a huge problem. I wish you would have asked me the question, they had the doctor's recommendation, because that's the most important thing to have.
As opposed to a copy.
As opposed to photocopies of photocopies of photocopies that we see on a regular basis. Some of the doctors out there are absolutely helping law enforcement or helping society with this so we can get through this confusion, because they have the new paper that when they photocopy it, it says copy all over it. And it doesn't make the photocopy illegal on its face, but it does let us know that this is not the original document. And the law doesn't say you have to have the original document with you.
What is your department's attitude towards a copy versus the original document?
Well, we're not going to differentiate between the original and a copy, but we're going to do an investigation. And when you do an investigation, you find out if this is a copy, are you really talking to the person that this is for? Because that's happened before, where you have a photocopy and someone has used whiteout, they've taken out some person's name and they put their own name in, and now you have a photocopy of a photocopy. And so if you're talking about someone who is legitimately presenting their doctor's recommendation and they're within their possession guidelines, I don't see a problem. But we investigate. That's what we do for
a living. So you're saying you question the legitimacy of a photocopy with the whiteout example that you give.
How about I answer this by saying we do an investigation and we find out if it's legitimate or if it's something we need to investigate further.
What would you look at in the course of your investigation?
Well, we're going to find out the person that possesses this, do they have another form of ID that says who they are?
Like a driver's license.
Like a driver's license or a California state ID card. Does that name on that California ID card match the name in the same handwriting or in the same computer writing as the doctor's recommendation that they're presenting?
And if it does, you're satisfied.
They're on their way, sure.
And if it doesn't, what would you look at next?
Well, we're going to do an investigation. We're going to find out if this is a fraudulent recommendation.
Is that investigation something that would normally be done on the spot at the time of the stop?
Part of the investigation would, sure.
What would be some examples when a person might be detained as opposed to allowed to go with the marijuana that they had and the investigation were to continue later?
What do you mean, what are some examples? And this happens every day, Barry.
Well, a person has 6 ounces of marijuana.
Okay.
And a copy of a recommendation,
okay,
from a doctor that doesn't look like an original and looks like there may have been a whiteout, and the name conforms to the driver's license.
With 6 ounces, I don't think we're going to spend a lot of time in that investigation. Really and truly.
I want to know how many ounces would trigger a further investigation, but before you answer that, I want to say that in this edition of Radio Curious, we're talking with Tom Allman, the sheriff of Mendocino County, in the studios of Radio Curious, and we are discussing the guidelines that were issued by the state attorney general, Edmund G. Brown, Jr. You're listening to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. So, Tom, my question is, if it were 16 ounces,
okay,
would that trigger something?
Barry, we're going to do an investigation.
I understand that.
But,
and, Tom,
but, okay,
what I'm asking
no,
is...
No, let me answer the question. Let me go there. If we're going to do an investigation, don't pin me down with any specific number.
Well, then what I want to know is, what are the steps that you take in the investigation?
In the investigation, it's going to tell us. It's going to depend on what the person says. I've had people tell me, with a pound of marijuana, they don't use medical marijuana. They only sell marijuana. They've told me that, Barry. I know you're an attorney, and it's hard to believe it, but they say this. Well, in that case, we're not going to let them have their marijuana. It's in violation of 11.358 of the health and safety code, and they're going to be arrested. But if they had 16 ounces of marijuana and they said, here's my doctor's recommendation, and he recommends that I have access to a pound of marijuana, then we're going to let them go on their way.
And how about if they give you a name of a doctor and say, it has been verbally recommended to me?
In those situations, and we've had those, in those situations we very possibly, depending on the amount of marijuana, if it's a large amount, we very possibly could take that processed marijuana, because usually doctor's offices are not open when these investigations are occurring.
Nights and weekends.
Nights and weekends and holidays. And we do an investigation, and we return marijuana when marijuana can legally be returned. And the AG's opinion very specifically talks about returning marijuana. And one of the questions that law enforcement had prior to yesterday was the question of when a law enforcement officer returns marijuana, is he violating, he or she violating federal law? And this absolutely goes to that and says, no, you're not violating federal law. Now, I've been returning marijuana on court orders since I became sheriff. And I'm going to guess I've done it 15 times because people have had their marijuana taken, whether in a search warrant or through a traffic stop, and it's been taken and they've got a court order and a judge has returned it. Well, by all means, that's what my job is. My job is to follow the law.
All right. Well, here I want to ask you for some advice as the sheriff. And this is an issue that we've discussed in the past a couple of times when you've been here on Radio Curious. And that is the problem of getting a state-issued medical ID card, marijuana medical ID card. Because once that's done, all the applicant's information is forever in a state computer. And from what you've said today, it's easier for you if someone presents the card with their photo and you can verify it. It's more difficult if they have a doctor's recommendation, and it's more difficult yet if they tell you they have a verbal recommendation. What is your opinion or your feeling about the importance of getting that state ID card versus the other elements that would keep an individual out of the state computer?
First, let's talk about the state computer. Let's talk about this computer that's somewhere in Sacramento that all this data is contained in. And I'm going to tell you, Barry, without a shadow of a doubt, the California Department of Public Health treats that information extremely confidential. I know of no situation that where that information has been compromised. I'm not saying it couldn't be compromised. The whole intent is to allow people that bit of confidence that when they go down to public health and they pay their money to get their public health card, they have confidence in the state of California, in the county of Mendocino, or the county of Lake, or wherever they are, that that information is not going to be given out to federal authorities. And I'm not aware of any.
I think that there's some concern, at least has been expressed to me, of that information getting into the hands of a new regime in the state government that would have a less congenial attitude towards the use of marijuana.
Mary, that's like your profiling question. You know, that maybe it's this big conspiracy that no one knows about.
Well, there are a lot of people who are concerned about that, and I'm trying to ask the questions on their behalf.
And I'll answer the questions by saying we don't profile, and information you give to the California Department of Public Health or information you give to the Mendocino County Health and Human Service Agency here in the county, and this is where your application process starts to get the card, is absolutely not given to law enforcement authorities, not given to any other agency outside of the public health arena, and that information is kept close to their chest when they're collecting it.
All right, well, let's move on and confuse this conversation a little bit more if we can. And that is the State Attorney General's guidelines section where they address local jurisdictions allowing more than the state minimums in relationship to the Kelly case that says local jurisdictions can't really do that, and Measure B that was enacted a few months ago here. How do you treat those differences?
Well, it's still something that I see as a weak link in the medical marijuana programs throughout the state. And I think you and I have talked about this before, that the fact when we have 58 counties in the state and we have the possibility of having 58 different marijuana laws, then it's going to put the whole marijuana conversation in an additional state of confusion, where I truly believe the better way to do it is to have a state standard. And if doctors recommend as to an individual, then the individual can have additional marijuana. But the state the law of the land should be the law of the land.
Well, that's true, but it isn't.
You're right.
Here in this county now, it's not. So my question is, as sheriff, what rules will you and your staff be implementing?
We're going to be looking very closely for the Kelly decision ruling to come out of the California Supreme Court.
Which will probably happen the end of the year or next winter.
Barry, you're an attorney. I've been in law enforcement a while. If it happens by the end of this winter, it's going to be fast-tracked. And I hope it will be. I hope that the Supreme Court justices understand the need to get this information out to law enforcement and to the citizenry as fast as possible. It's my understanding from whatever insider information I have at the Supreme Court that they do understand the importance and they are going to rush this.
What inside information do you have?
I don't have inside information. I have people who work very closely with the court, and they've stated that they feel as if the justices are going to accelerate this in a manner where we're going to have an answer before spring.
So between now and the time the answer is told to us, what is the plan within your office?
The plan in the office right now is a plan that we've been doing all year and all last year. And we're focusing on commercial grows. And the more we talk about the AG's guidelines, or the more that we talk about Measure B, the more paranoia is spread throughout our county. I am not aware of any law enforcement agencies in this county that are focusing on people who grow medical marijuana. I'm very aware of investigations that are happening as we speak that are involving commercial grows, involving the commercial grows that you and I have talked about several times, Barry, of the people who really don't give a damn about our county.
So addressing those commercial grows,
sure.
When we spoke about a year ago, you had the idea of the tags that would go on each plant.
I had that idea.
And where is that now?
Well, we did it in 2007. It was a trial program where no charge was issued. We had people, and I feel it was a very successful program. At this point, I have new color zip ties ready to be issued at the drop of a hat when the Board of Supervisors tells me that they've implemented the plan where the zip ties can be issued, sold, whatever, and people can have the trust of knowing that zip tie is going to represent that prescription bottle that we talked about with the Vicodin. That's what the whole intent is for.
Does the board know what you've just told us now?
You're
waiting for them to implement a plan?
The CEO is fully aware, and at least one board member is aware, that I have the zip ties and I'm ready to go. Barry, I want you to have an idea about this, about my concern for the frustration that a legitimate medical marijuana patient or grower has about law enforcement. If I was a legitimate medical marijuana patient, and let's say I was growing within the Measure B guidelines, I was growing 6 adult female plants in my backyard, I would question whether or not I can go to town and get a gallon of milk and leave those marijuana plants by themselves, or whether or not law enforcement is going to show up at my house and eradicate the marijuana. And I understand that frustration.
So with the zip ties, there's an element of protection from the sheriff's office.
From law enforcement. I've shaken the hand of the U.S. attorney for this area after explaining the zip tie idea to him. And he has assured me that they will not interfere with a plan that would protect legitimate medical marijuana. But then we get into the situation, we've already had them this year, where people took last year's zip ties and they were growing marijuana plants by the hundreds, Barry. So we didn't issue zip ties this year. but we've eradicated a lot of plants with zip ties this year because people said this is the way we're going to do it.
Because they were last year's zip ties.
They were last year's zip ties, and I think that we're always going to find people who are trying to figure out a way to go beyond what they can do for whatever reason, whether it's greed or whatever. But there's a legitimate way where people can grow medical marijuana. But those are not the people that we're focusing on right now. We're focusing on the 1,000 plants. We eradicated some plants in the Ukiah area yesterday. The plants were already 14 feet tall.
When you eradicate them, what do you do with the plant?
They're chipped and buried.
How are they used for evidence in prosecution?
As the law says, we obtain 10 pounds of a random sample of the marijuana plants, and we can destroy the rest.
Well, Sheriff Tom Allman, I want to thank you for being with us on Radio Curious. And before we close, I can see you're reaching for the name of the book that I want to ask you about.
The book you want to ask me about. I'm really trying hard to read a book called Reagan's War. And this book is talking about the 40 years of Reagan. It was written by Peter Schweitzer, and it documents Ronald Reagan's personal battle against communism. And it's a very fascinating book because it starts when he was with the Actors Guild and finishes, of course, as President of the United States. So it's one of these political books where you can try to tie in all the things together, just like medical marijuana, Barry.
And the other question that I like to ask at the end of each interview is, can you tell us about an important issue or concept or idea that you've learned recently?
I hadn't prepared for this question, Barry, but I'll tell you what the answer is without a doubt, and that's the recent fires that we've had in Mendocino County have taught the public safety sector more than we could have ever learned at schools. And I think that what the citizenry saw was a group of public safety people working together in a manner they've never worked before. In our county, we've never had deputy sheriffs put on yellow firefighting gear and go evacuate people from a fire scene. We literally evacuated hundreds of houses, and the deputy sheriffs did their job. They didn't interfere with marijuana. I know that wasn't your question, but they didn't interfere with the marijuana that was being cultivated at these places. They understood the priority of public safety, and they understood the dangers that were being taken care of. And it was a beautiful thing, and I'm very, very in debt to the professionalism I saw.
Well, Tom Allman, thank you very much for being with us on Radio Curious.
Barry, thanks for having me back.
Tom Allman is the sheriff of Mendocino County. The book that he recommends is Reagan's War by Peter Schweitzer. Copies of this and other editions of Radio Curious can be found on our website, www.radiocurious.org.
There are over 750 archives on our website, radiocurious.org. And I'm honored to tell you that Radio Curious is now part of the collection at the Library of Congress. We appreciate your cards, ideas, and letters, and do enjoy hearing from you. The email is curious@radiocurious.org. The postal address is 700 West Smith Street, Ukiah, California, 95482. The phone is 707-621-5075. Ignacio Ayala is the assistant producer. I'm host and producer, Barry Vogel. Thank you for listening.